Hello and welcome to episode 2022.
Oh dear.
Welcome, one and all, to episode 22 of When the Flames Go Up, the ATFC podcast, with me, Will Brown. Hope you're all doing well. We've got the end of season awards today, tonight, this morning, whenever you're listening, to discuss our players of the season, goal of the season. There's even Please Don't Leave ATFC Award of the Year that I'm sure will be juicy next year when we haven't got obvious choices. Before we get into that, I just want to say thank you all for listening to this season. If you were here from the start, fair play for sticking with it. If you've joined halfway, come along for the ride. I'm sure it's going to get even more chaotic as we go through. And a big thank you to the contributors that we've had on the show since the start. Obviously, couldn't have done it without them because it would just be me in my room in Lewisham attempting to analyse and discuss Aldershot's results on my own. So thank you to Julian, Ian, Joe, Callum, Tim and Ash in that order, kind of chronologically. That's not chronological at all. In time appearances, I think, off the top of my head. Anyway, if you'd like to get involved next season, then please do. Email atfcpodcast@gmail.com. We don't bite. We just jump on a Zoom call once a week, usually, and discuss the results. Honestly, we're open to it. So just email and we'll stick them on the list that I send out once a week to see if people are up for it. That's all. Enjoy this episode and speak to you after.
Right. Welcome to the end of season awards, When the Flames Go Up. We're going to go around the room or the Zoom and give our kind of our entrant for the award. I don't think we're going to come to a decision on it. I think we'll just go as these are the awards that we're giving out from each person. The first one is Player of the Season. Which is a tough one, I reckon. Probably there's three maybe candidates, and there's four people on the call. So let's see. I'm going to come to you first, Ian. Who is your selection for Player of the Season this season?
Only one choice for me, Lauren Tallard. Apart from when Tommy decided to put him on the bench, he was basically available the whole season, no injury issues. He started great on that opening day against Oxford City with a brace. He then was quiet until mid-September at Barnet. And then, of course, unfortunately, he was quiet at the end of the season. But 19 league goals, 26 goals in total, gives him the choice for me. Stokes, etc., you know, worthy mentions because he was just absolutely on fire that first half of the season. Found things a bit harder in the second half, but certainly tried hard. And I think people will be mentioning Harfield as ever present. But I just can't have someone that has been involved in that defence and conceding that many goals. But I certainly acknowledge he's been a really, really good performer for us. So, Lauren Tallard.
Right. And Julian, are you going for anyone that's not those three?
That's really interesting you say that, Ian, because my top two are both defenders, and that shows you how much I know. And I'm looking at it myself thinking, how can I have top two as defence when we conceded the record amount? But for me, it was between Ollie Harfield and Haji Manoga. Both of them would be first on my team sheet, and I decided to go for Ollie Harfield in the end. I was just thinking where he was at the end of last season compared to where he is now. Obviously, you mentioned the every minute of every game. So you look for consistency. You look for players that can play more than 40 games. And I think he was really consistent. He added so much to his game as well. So I'm thinking back to last-ditch challenges at Stockport, holding players off, and for me again the bit which I absolutely loved is the bombing forward from, from left central defence, which I think I first saw Wealdstone do it a couple of years ago, and was just so blown away that a defender is hairing up the pitch. And when Ollie Harford was doing it and complimenting Ryan Glover, I just felt that was really, really good to see. So, sorry for waffling on, Will, but yeah, my vote goes to Ollie Harfield.
No worries at all. And then we've got two different ones. Ash, you going for a different one as well for your player of the season?
My top two was Tollard and Harfield. So for me, I squeezed it with Harfield just because he has been ever present. Yes, we've had poor defensive performances, but he's also contributed across the pitch. And when you've seen like a bad result in the defensive area, you've gone, but Ollie Harfield did contribute going forward, and he did contribute in other ways. I get obviously Tollard was top of nearly every single other stat. But for me personally, someone playing every single minute of the game and playing, I believe, a new position for this season as well. So I believe he was out wide last season. I could be wrong with that, but he played in a new position every minute of every game and stood out throughout, and also winning the fans' player of the season as well. Really shows that the fans see his contribution, and he's fine. He's 100% my player of the season.
Love that. I'm going to make it a split decision. For me, it's Laurent Tolage. The stats, as Ian have said, is probably enough to win it for me anyway. But I think just the absolute like joy of watching him like turn defenders so consistently all season. I've not yeah, I don't think anyone's seen a striker like that for Aldershot for a long time. Yeah, he just made me believe that we could score at any moment because he's got something special. And yeah, so he's put fun back into it for me. And watching him's great. So Laurent Tolage for me for player of the season. Grand. No other shouts. I mean, I know. Yeah, it's strange that Stokes didn't get much more of a mention, but maybe he'll get some mention later on in the
Really
awards.
good is that we've got four or five options, which every season for the last however many I can now remember, four or five options for player of the year. No one's mentioned Ryan Glover tonight, and I thought you would, Will, actually, because I know how much you love Ryan Glover.
He was on my mind.
I thought you might be, but to have four or five players in the frame, I think tells you what a great season it was and how entertaining it was for us all.
Yeah, absolutely. You look back at our previous like player of the years. Obviously Tyler Cordner last season. He was basically nailed on from about February anyway. There was no other shining lights in that team. The year before that, Mohamed Sylla was quality for a bit. And then Josh Reese the year before, because he scored goals. Yeah, mad. I'll look back at that my own time. That was just nice to look back at the old player of the seasons. The next award is Goal of the Season. This one's a bit more of a kind of doesn't have to be the best goal because it could be by hook or by crook. But yeah, we'll go with Goal of the Season. And this time I'm going to start with you, Ash. What's your choice for Goal of the Season?
So I went with quality of goal, and it was probably for my favourite game of the season, against Swindon. The one that sticks out, Laurent Tolage's goal to make it, I think it was 6-0. It showed the quality that we had on the pitch, and again, reason why two of our panel have given him player of the year. It was just a beautiful, beautiful goal, that's all I can say. And obviously, that game was a special game, and it was a special goal for a special game. So for me, that is goal of the season.
Love that. Love that. I wonder if Swindon is going to come up a bit more. Julian, what was your choice for goal of the season?
I'm going to be a bit controversial here. My goal of the season was Kwame Thomas against Hartlepool. And the reason for that was there was a magical 43 seconds in between his goal and Josh Stokes. And that 43 seconds was just an unbelievable feeling. And you know that emoji that's got the shocked face with the big eyes? I looked around the East Bank and everyone was going, "Oh my God, what's just happened?" And that moment for me, that goal was just, we were 1-0 down, 10 minutes to go, I think. Josh Stokes, great equaliser. And then that 43 seconds when Thomas scored the winner was the goal of the season for me.
Superb. Yeah. Oh, well, we're coming on to favorite moment of the season, and a little sneak preview that features highly in my list that I made beforehand. Ian, are you going to go for a different goal out of those two? We've got Laurent Tolage at Swindon.
No, I had the same as Ash, and it's one I've mentioned, I think, on previous appearances on here. The other goals I'll mention that stick out in my mind would be the opener from Barham, because of the way that that move was put together and sort of showcase what we were going to do to Swindon that afternoon, that we had a go right from the whistle. And the other one, not particularly pleasing on the eye goal, but just a great moment, was Kobe Rowe, 90 plus 14 or whatever it was at Bromley away, to complete a comeback from 2-0 down. So yeah, I'm with Ash, but yeah, we've been very spoilt with a lot to choose from this year.
We have, honestly. Yeah, I didn't even want to look. As soon as you look back at the first half of the year, there's so many good goals to choose from. I'm going to go slightly different. I'm going to stick with the Swindon game, but the one that sticks out for me is the Jack Barham lob over the keeper, which I don't know, because it spent so much time in the air. I think as soon as it was halfway there, I knew it was in. Half of us knew it was in, but the entire ground is deadly silent, and then it finally got a nestles in the net, and you see him wheel away. That was my favorite goal of the season. I think it looked a bit Premier League as well. I mean, obviously the keeper, the actual defending, ignore that. A Premier League team playing a kids team, but yeah, for me, that Jack Barham goal just looked so good. And obviously, kind of that was. I think that was that the third goal of that crazy.
I
Or
think
the
that was the second.
second, wasn't it? Yeah. So that's my decision for goal of the season. Any other honourable mentions lurking about for anyone else?
A quick mention for Josh Stokes. I think quite early on in the season when he scored, I think it was against Wealdstone. He just sort of dinked it over the goalie, East Bank end, and that was probably the first moment where I thought we've got something special here. And that sort of stuck in my mind. A couple of the Josh Stokes ones do actually, because he started really early, didn't he?
Yeah, Stokes at home to Kidderminster was a really good one. 1-0 win, important goal that we struggled to break them down that afternoon, but his little bit of extra magic, extra quality. And it was well worked, pretty much a solo goal that he created it for himself.
Nice. And Ash, any other honourable mentions that you noted down at all?
Ones that meant something for me was the 1-0 Gateshead goal. So the fact that we actually went up there twice, I was one of the victims that drove up there twice, and managed to beat them 1-0 after all the banter they gave us. I think that's not maybe the best goal of the season, but is the goal that stuck with me. It's still fresh in my mind. So that was on the notes, but I couldn't give it to any other goal than the one I gave.
Great stuff. So there's our selections for goal of the season. I also had Ollie Bray at West Brom, just as a, I don't know, a moment of, I don't know, just it just felt right that we've been dominated all game, but there was still some reason to celebrate. And I think, yeah, 5,000 Old Trafford fans celebrating a goal was just a bit bonkers anyway, in one end at West Brom. Okay, the next one is favorite moment of the season. We've covered some little moments there, but I'm going to come to you first, Ian. I think you're on my list first, or you went last time. What is your favorite moment of the season?
It will be Swindon, but because we've already talked about that with the goals, I think my sort of close second would be watching the Stockport replay on the BBC. That was a great moment for the club. And the moment when Ollie Scott hit that rebound in. And I'm surprised that one didn't come up on the goals of the season there. And that shows how good the scoring and the goals have been. Again, it's not a great goal, but it's just, for what it meant and what it did for the club, then let's go for Stockport away replay.
Nice. So you get, but you're going as your first choice, the Stockport replay.
No, Swindon,
You're still
obviously,
going. You're going
but
Swindon.
just
Okay.
wanted to not talk about Swindon all the time.
It's tricky. And Julian, up next. Favorite moment of the season for you?
Favorite moment has to be West Brom, the away day at West Brom. Just the excitement of driving up to the Hawthorns, walking around the grounds, just struggling to believe that we're actually going to be playing at this amazing ground. Everything about the day was first class. Talking to some of the West Brom supporters, found that really interesting. And then obviously just being at that away end and having it completely packed out. Even now on the league highlights, I keep watching the West Brom ones and seeing how many away supporters are sitting in there, and it's nowhere near what we did. Even the big championship clubs don't fill it out. So that in my eyes means we're as big as any championship club. So it's definitely my favourite moment of the season was the West Brom away day.
Brilliant. And Ash, what about you? What's your favourite moment of the season?
Well, I excluded Swindon out of it because I thought everybody else would say Swindon. So mine was again West Brom. The particularly the favourite moment, best moment of the season was after the game had finished. Players come over, clap the fans. The fans were clapping the players back. That really felt the club had really got themselves together, and it had galvanised the fans' connection with the players, and it really summed up that first half of the season really, really well. Just how close the players had got to the fans and the fans to the players. So for me, that was that. Honourable mention is the Stockport away game because that was one of them I did travel to. With the goal there, and the amount of fans we took up there actually was again a show of how good our support is around the country. So yeah, that would be my I was given two, but my favourite is definitely the West Brom.
Nice, nice. Two in the West Brom category. Yeah, it's a tough one for me because I think because I knew we were playing West Brom when Ollie Scott scored, I think that is my favourite moment of the season because I knew. I mean, obviously, I didn't know the scale of how many Ultrashot fans would turn up, or what the atmosphere would be like, and that we'd score at West Brom. But I think yeah, that Stockport away. Scoring there after a brilliant performance where we'd, gone toe to toe with the best team in League Two, and then scoring and being there and then knowing we're playing West Brom away, that's my favourite moment of the season. Yes, Ollie Scott, put it down. I did have West Brom brackets general on there as well and Hartlepool turnaround, which felt significant at the time, like. We'd not turned around a game in so long. I think it was the Hartlepool one that was the first one, or maybe the Maidenhead one. I'm getting confused. Anyway, I digress. So that's favourite moment of the season, and now a tough one is funniest moment of the season. I'm going to come to you first, Ash. What's your funniest moment of the season?
On the pitch or off the pitch?
Completely up to you. I've got ammo on both sides.
Yeah, right. So I will do on the pitch. It was, I can't remember exactly which game it was, but there was a free kick just outside the box in front of the East Bank. And up comes Theo Widdrington. And we were like, what is he going to do with this? And I remember someone behind me saying, he's going to slip over, sky it, and get injured. And that's precisely what happened. He did the whole standing there, and we thought he's taking this Ronaldo-esque run up, He's hit the ball and he couldn't have got it over higher if he tried. So that's my favourite on the pitch. If you don't mind sharing the one off the pitch, I'm not going to name names. It was their birthday. We went out in the pub over the road, the Chimera, had been drinking from about 11 o'clock, had quite a lot of drinks, went, right, let's go into the ground. I went through the turnstiles, and as I looked over my shoulder, there he is. He's going, yeah, let's go for the game. Missed the turnstiles, hit the wall straight by the side of the ground. If they're listening, they'll know who they are, but I'm not going to mention names. It was just the fact that a few people had to pick him up, let's put him that way and get him into the ground. But yeah, there's my two favourite.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, we've all got those moments running into walls there. That's great. Need to widen the turnstiles. That's what I say. Julian, you're up next. What was your funniest moment of the season? If you've got an on pitch and off pitch one, then fire away.
Yeah, I've got two. Yeah, the first one has to be Gateshead. Just the whole Gateshead supporters thing just makes me laugh every time I think about it. What really pleased me the most is that everyone was laying into Gateshead. So we had our own players giving them some grief as they were going back inside. So I thought it was really good. Even our Facebook page was mocking them as well. And even Tommy Widdrington had a little go afterwards as well. So, of course, the whole thing was rounded off beautifully with, Gateshead having egg on their face. So, for me, throwing the digger in Gateshead as well, that was getting the sand out and managed to get stuck in there. It was just the best thing ever for me. Loved it. I have got another one as well, one that's just come to mind, actually. Theo Widdrington twerking, which was one of the oddest things I think I've seen, but funny at the same time. And that told me that he's got quite an interesting personality. And I think we've seen that a few times since as well. So, yeah, seeing Theo twerking on BBC was a really, really strange, funny, but strange.
Yeah, love that. I completely forgot about that as well. So yeah, Gateshead brackets general with the digger. I mentioned the digger in my notes there as well. Ian, I'll come to you. Funniest moment of the season.
See earlier in the podcast that my Gateshead rant, that is amusing, and Julian's put it far better than I could. So off field, Gateshead. And I think on field, I'm struggling to think of this one, but Wealdstone's pitch, that was quite amusing. Watching a long ball go up in the air, and then when it bounced, it immediately would just die. And just watching a 3-3 draw on that was quite an amusing game of football to watch in terms of I can't believe what I'm seeing here of a professional football match.
Love that. Yeah, I've only got, well, after the Gateshead digger, and I think just Gateshead in general, I've only got two that, but they're both kind of just mocking us, really. It's Eastleigh away, not having a keeper and putting Toladge in goal. And then I think the funniest moment was the substitution to bring on Kwame Thomas, and then swap shirts and get him in goal, like it was some sort of tactical masterstroke to, yeah, to put Thomas in goal, move Toladge forward. He's rested enough now, so I think he can go and get some goals up the other end. And the other thing was the Makoma sending off at Maidenhead. I think that place is cursed for centre backs I don't know, crocked centre backs. I don't want to say. I mean, Makoma might not be crocked. I mean, he's had a terrible injury. I'm sorry, but yeah, coming on and then immediately getting sent off for swearing at the ref was. At the
I mean,
time, infuriating, but looking back, that's very funny.
yeah, I mean, there was a lot of moments where you had to laugh, otherwise you would have cried. Maidenhead away, for example. Bishop Stortford
Yes.
was one for sure.
Them not winning for about 4 months afterwards was.
Yeah, Fylde at home would be another.
The goal difference in general, that was
Yeah,
funny.
yeah. Yeah, so anything like that was yeah, funny, but You
Not at the
had to make
time. You
it
had to be
funny,
there.
yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, at least we've got funny moments coming out of our ears, really, haven't we? Or our ears. I'm not really sure that works. Out of our mouths. So that, I mean, that probably does show that the Widdrington way is gonna be fun, whatever. Whatever direction this roller coaster goes on. Right. Up next is signing of the season. This might be an easy one. We might just rattle through it. I'm going to come to you first, Julian. What's your signing of the season?
Always controversial, Will. I've gone for Tetek. The
Okay, there you
reason
go.
I've gone for Tetek is that you've picked up a 21-year-old with 20 games experience in the championship. He's gone unnoticed by most teams, if not all the teams. He's come into us and he just oozed class for me. He didn't play enough, and there's some arguments that he's made of glass, etc. But I can't remember him having a bad game. And the thing for me, the reason he is my signing is that there's some longevity there. I think he's going to stay with us, and we could be building a team around him next season. That's my hope. But yeah, I remember him playing. I think it was against Bromley, and just thinking he's controlling this game. And he's young, he's got championship experience, and he was just what we needed just at the right time when he came in.
Well, yeah, he definitely was that. He definitely was that. Ian, you're up next. What was your signing of the season?
Josh Stokes, nobody has had an impact like he has. And for the sheer value of what his transfer or the rumoured fee, there's never been anything like it, has there? That he's picked up for whatever it was from Sudbury. He's had an unbelievable half of the season, and we've cashed in at exactly the right time, I think, because obviously his form has levelled off, but he's still an absolute class player. So Josh Stokes for sure. And it'd be the signing of any season for Aldershot Town. But I love Julian's Tetek shout. That's a great signing. Really liked watching him. And we looked always a much better side with him in it.
And in any other season, Tetek would probably be way up there again. Ash, are you going to go for either Tetek or Stokes or a different one?
For me, it was Stokes. This is the easiest question. The impact he's had, the fee we paid, the fee we got, it just makes sense. Putting him aside, on my list, I did have Tetek and Tolarge, it's the other two. I think overall we've had a brilliant, brilliant transfer season this season. We're bringing players in. It'll be interesting to see if we can keep them now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I'm gonna complete it by saying Josh Stokes. I think, yeah, obviously for those reasons and the fact that he's off to Bristol City this summer, just very happy for him. He's been brilliant. It's been great to watch. It's been entertaining. He's kind of summed up the kind of bullish and exciting energy that Widdrington is likely to have for the rest of his time at Aldershot. And I'm sure we'll find someone in Josh Stokes's mould, but they won't be anywhere near him. And that's not, that's nothing against that player. That unfortunately you are not going to be Josh Stokes. And I think I was speaking to my mate Dan, and he was like, I actually want him to do well. Whereas a lot of players leave the club, and I'm not really that invested in them. I'm invested in Josh Stokes, and that's why he's my sign of the season for
Do you
this
think he's
season.
going to get a shout next season for Bristol City, or do you think they're going to loan him out?
Ooh, probably not. I think it was probably too much. Definitely first half of the season you're getting loaned out for sure. But I would imagine the way he's performed this season that he will want to go somewhere for a whole year. I think he needs that like stability to stay in one place. I mean, he's been jumping about a bit for the last two seasons. I think alone, definitely. I'm not sure where.
Yeah, he's going to be. I would hope that he would have a League One team after him, probably nearer to Bristol. So just trying to think of any around the Bristol. Well, Bristol Rovers. No, they wouldn't loan this to Bristol Rovers, would
Oh,
they?
God. Now you made me
I
worry he's going
mean,
to be at Forest Green.
the suggestion was from somebody I know, Newport County. I know that's League Two, but they do get a lot of loanees from Bristol City. So that's where my money would be. And I think we had this question on the pod in January when he moved or the signing was done. And I think at that time I thought he would get a shot, but because of how the second half of the season's panned out, I think he needs some time in League Two or One.
Yeah, I agree.
Just another point on Josh Stokes. Looking at some figures with regard to the bookings for National League, and Josh Stokes received the most bookings for the National League. Managed to get 14, which I thought was quite impressive.
It's unbelievable. Did he only get one suspension from the yellow cards as well? Because was it scrubbed after a certain amount of time? I can't remember.
Yeah,
I'm sure he was only out for
they
one.
do scrub them. So I think after the final date, he just went mad and was just getting booked all the time.
Yeah, because it's when you get to 10, but he was okay on that deadline, and
Yeah, was
unfortunately, his
it?
only suspension was the second yellow at Woking, which obviously sadly meant he missed West Brom.
Well, yeah, actually, that's probably if we had a category for saddest moment, I reckon that really probably was. That wasn't fun. After all this talk of fun, I mean, now I've been taken back to being at the Kingfield in the drizzle, watching him get his second yellow. Grand. Right. Signing of the season done. Josh Stokes has got 3 out of 4 of our votes there, as to be expected. Next, we come into best home performance and then best away performance. So we might as well do these together. You can mention both your home and your away. And I'm going to come to you first, Ash. What was your best home and best away? Oh, this is performance of the season, I guess. So mainly on the pitch, but feel free to go off piste.
So home game, I went with our 2-0 win against Oldham, one of the best form away sides in the league. They were coming into it thinking that they would get something, and I thought we played very well. We were never in danger of actually losing the game. Yeah, I thought that was the home performance. I think it was just a good all round team performance. And the away one, I went with the Stockport County. I think that's the best I've seen us play all season in defensively, because like obviously they were flying at the top of the league, managed to keep a clean sheet against them, which nobody expected, and the 1-0 victory away from home was a snatch and grab. So that's my home and away.
Nice. Some good selections there. Ian, what were your best home and away performances from your point of view?
Home would be Altrincham, the one that was on TNT cameras, similar to the Oldham game, where really good home performance against a decent Altrincham side. And it was in that sort of period where we'd had a sticky January, letting in a lot of goals, and the clean sheet and how we responded to that period was very, very good. Barnet at home, Oldham at home, it was just a real period of good home performances. Away, Swindon, obviously, but want to mention some other important away performances. Solihull away back September, October, wasn't it? Where that kind of you started to see the signs of a good side. So those were really impressive. Halifax away, February, I think it was. That was a really good one. And again, it looked like we'd be beating them or finishing above them at that point. And just for enjoyable, not necessarily the performance because we were 2-0 down and could have been worse, was Bromley away.
Ooh, yeah, some good selections there. Yeah, the Solihull game, I'd completely kind of blocked that from my memory. That might trouble mine now. Julian, I come to you for your best home and best away performances of the season.
Yeah, they've already been mentioned. So Oldham at home for me. Again, for what Ash pointed out, Oldham were on a fine run of form away from home. They hadn't lost away for 5 months. They came expecting to get a result, and they were totally outclassed. I remember when we talked about it on the podcast. I think someone mentioned the fact that, and I certainly felt it, that it was one of those games where I just never felt in any trouble at all. And I can't remember too many of those, not only for this season, but for previous seasons. It felt as comfortable as can be. And, just watching players like, James Norwood up front looking totally lost for Oldham. Their right wing back, I think I mentioned it on the pod, that was hooked after about 20 minutes, just had no answer to what we were throwing at them. And it was a clean sheet. And I think that game for me was the have we found our best back three? Hadji Munaga in the centre, Maina Yazi and Harfield. And it was on the back of the Altrincham clean sheet as well. So it felt for the first time as if we had finally sorted out our defence and we were still looking dangerous going forward. So for me, it was the Oldham home game, without a shadow of a doubt. The away one was Bromley, being 2-0 down. Didn't manage to go to the game, but I was listening to it, and being 2-0 down after, I think, 9 minutes, it was that, shall I bother listening to the rest of it? And I did. And as I think Ian's already pointed out, to score the winning goal in 14 minutes plus time just again showed everything that we needed to do. And wouldn't surprise me if Bromley actually go up this season.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. Yeah, the yeah, it's tough for me. The home one for me. I mean, now I've listened to all you talk about these actually good performances. I went for the Maidenhead at home when we were 2-0 down. Probably the worst 20 minutes start to a game ever to be 2-0 down, especially against Maidenhead, who I think before we played them in our heads, this was the easy game. This was the banker. Yeah, but the response from going 2-0 down, scoring two in 2 minutes, and then sealing the deal to make it 3-2, and then scoring the fourth in like the last minutes, Laurent Tolage. I think it just had it all. I think if we were looking, obviously we talked earlier about the Dag Red summing up the season. I think it's quite easy to forget how dreadful we used to be at going 1-0, 2-0 down and not being able to turn it around. And if that summed up our kind of home vibe this season, it was that, going 2-0 down and coming back to win 4-2. And the away one, I feel like now I've approached the Maidenhead one by saying the first 20 minutes were actually rubbish. I feel like I've probably got to go with the best away performance as a Stockport away. The complete performance, watching it back and being able to get that goal when we did, the kind of perfect time. And we didn't look like we were playing defensively. We didn't look like we were scared of the occasion. We were very confident, and obviously what it meant in the end as well. That's when I felt like, yeah, it's somehow beaten Bromley away, which was absolutely insane. But for me, it's Stockport away for best away performance. Any other honourable mentions for home or away performances? I feel like we've got a lot.
I mean, you could say Oxford City at home just to get it all underway, that set the tone for the season, even though they ended up rock bottom last. That was a good sign of things to come.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to add in Lewis at home because of how horrible we are against lower league opposition. Usually, being able to put them to the sword with a Tolage hat trick was great. Grand. Right. We have two more awards to give out. The next one is best non-football moment of the season. Now, have people shot their load too early with the funniest moment of the season? I don't know. Let's find out. Ash, I'm going to come to you first. What was your best non-football moment of the season?
I really struggled with this one. Because I didn't quite, so it's not allowed to be related with football.
Absolutely can, but not maybe not the 90 minutes is what I'm thinking. Okay, it can be in 90 minutes, but not the football action.
Right. Yeah. I think it's going to be the Gateshead Aldershot Twitter. I think that's going to be because the fact they just gave it so much to us and then everything's turned out to go our way has to be that. I just can't see past that as mine.
Nice. Kicking things off strong. Julian, come to you next. What's your best non-football moment of the season?
For me, it was quite an easy one, really. I had the pleasure of being part of the media team for the England C game earlier on this season, and for me to be there to interview Ollie Harfield, to be there when he's having his England cap presented to him, was a really special moment for me, and really enjoyed it. And it was just a great evening, not having to be super stressed about the match, almost watching it from a neutral point of view as well. So the England C game for me was that moment.
Lovely stuff. And Ian, what's yours?
Yeah, Gateshead as well. Just that's kind of cheered me up after we missed out on the playoffs. So Gateshead as well. It's the third time now I've mentioned them, but
I'm sure it won't
when
be
I
the
was
last.
trying to avoid, appearing bitter and vindictive, but Gateshead.
Brilliant. it wasn't a very well worded question because even I struggled when I read it back after I'd already sent his email out, so I didn't want to change it. I guess for me, the best non-football moment of the season is probably starting this podcast. Oh, horrible. But also Tommy Widdrington at the end of every game, most games, clapping the fans and then doing a kind of showing off to the side motion. That's my best moment because he kind of, takes the applause of the crowd and then points to his coaching staff, points to his players. I just thought that was a lovely touch. And I thought, well, maybe he's just doing it once or twice. He's done it pretty much every game. And that's where the kind of chants for Hugo were born because he was basically just pointing at them going, it's not just me, it's these lads as well, which I love. So yeah,
Actually,
go for it. Go on.
yeah, meeting Tommy Widdrington in O'Neill's after Maidenhead away, that'll be my best non-football moment.
That's superb. I didn't know about this.
Yeah, this was I was with friends that are involved in Maidenhead United and we went for O'Neill's for post-match drinks and Tommy was in there with his coaching staff having a debrief and had chance to chat to Tommy. He was very good. I thanked him for the season so far, and he was very much sort of downplaying it, saying, well, it's what we've done as fans, and saying other things around, the work's not done yet, and we'll get in the playoffs for you. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, but great to meet Tommy. He's made it so enjoyable again. Various people have their criticisms, things coming up as common themes around the defence and discipline, but I'm not too worried about those. I'm just enjoying supporting Aldershot under Tommy.
I've just thought
Lovely.
of another one, actually, and
Go
that
on.
was Lauren Tollard pulling pints at the local pub after the game
Yes, I'm playing darts.
and playing darts.
That was good. That could probably go in all sorts. That could go in funniest. That could probably tip him over to signing of the season, to be honest, just the fact that he came in, George. Well, I've mentioned him now, but the last award, which is probably going to be award every season because someone's got to leave. It's the Please Don't Leave ATFC Award of the Season. I'm going to come to you first, Julian. Who gets your vote for this award?
I would imagine that this is the only one where we're all going to agree on. It's got to be Lauren Tollard. He would be the one that you would be most disappointed to see go. Whether or not he stays, I can't see it happening, to be honest. He's been super consistent. Yeah, I think we said it earlier on with Josh Stokes. We're really looking forward to seeing where he ends up with his career. And again, Tollard will be another one where, if he does go, you can't really not knock him for that. He's been superb. We don't want him to leave, but the reality is, he probably is going to go.
We'll whisper it for now. He's still contracted. There's many things we can do. Anyone got any legalese we can pull out before he gets signed? Ian, you're up next. Is it Tolage for you as well?
It is for sure. Lauren Tolage, we need him next year. The impact he's going to have and the void that would be left if he goes. I also would be concerned about Tetek, that championship experience, the fact that he's dropped probably further than he should have, really. So Tetek would be a close second on that, and the please don't leave or please re-sign again for next year.
Absolutely. And Ash, what about you?
Tollard, without a doubt. After the postponement in Gateshead, the players and the coaching staff came out to the reception area and we were talking a lot. I did say to Tollard, "You staying for another year?" And he just went, one more year. And that was it. That's all he said to me about. But everybody asked him the same question, please stay another year. Other than Tollard, I think someone who will be very important potentially is Barrett as well, worthy mention. So obviously, we had Tetek, but Barrett filling that gap for Stokes, I think will be something that we need. And I think if he makes the improvements he says he's going to make, I think we're in for a very good season if we can keep Tollard and Barrett in the same team.
I mean, both of them would be great. My award for this one is definitely going to Tolage, for all those reasons. One more year would be unbelievable. I just worry if we can actually give him a worthwhile reason to stay. And would he be able to score 20 goals next season without the support of Stokes and Barham? I don't know. But from what I've seen, he can probably do it all himself and get at least 15 without the help. So that concludes the end of season awards for this year. Some good memories there. So some more memories than we've had combined in the last 3 or 4 years, I think. So it'd be interesting to see what this is like when we have a bad season. grand. Any final thoughts? We've got 1 minute 30 left on this call. Who wants to shout in and say something about the end of season?
I would just say it's been better than we'd ever hoped. Ian mentioned it earlier on, that Oxford game. I was really looking forward to seeing what was going to happen. They didn't particularly blow us away in pre-season. I remember Tollard struggling against Farnborough. But that first game against Oxford told us all what we needed to know. We knew we were going to be on a roller coaster ride, and we were.
There it is, the roller coaster. Anything else from you, Ian?
Yeah, I'm thinking back about this season, think way back to 2006-07, that was Terry Brown's last season. It was a roller coaster ride then. We had some great performances and some poor performances, but some key signings were made that summer, and that led to the magic of 07-08 with Gary Waddock. And maybe we're in that position now, that this is our 06-07 to the 07-08.
Love that. And Ash, you've got about 10 seconds before this call goes. What's your final throws?
Bring on next season.
What a way to leave it. Brilliant.
Thank you for listening to this episode of When the Flames Go Up, the ATFC podcast. We'll be back again next week with a all-time 11 Forgotten Shots episode. And then we might have something in the works for a week after or a couple of weeks after that'll kind of round off the season and maybe look ahead a little and round up any news that we know since the last time we've actually sat down and spoke. So, up the shots. Goodbye.